Pack today.
Congressman Paul Ryan, over the moon. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this President's Day edition of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Some say Ryan is on the future list, of potentials for the White House. But it wasn't about his future. It was about the future of immigration that had him so upset. The White House, with its back against the wall, saying that yes, the leaked immigration plan was just a draft, a backup, if you will, in case this bipartisan congressional committee that we're so excited about fails with the bill. So Paul Ryan wasn't the only one. Marco Rubio, some other key Republicans blasted that leaked copy of this White House measure off to a ton of people, saying it was partisan, counterproductive, and just dead on arrival on the Hill, saying forget about it if you think that this has any chance of getting through any kind of passage. So was the White House hedging its bets, trying to mess around with the Republicans' heads, or was this just really, truly a backup? Well, I'm not buying the backup. I'm thinking it's a way to get a little bit of an advantage or get ahead, just in case the committee crashes. So John McCain wanted to throw his two cents in as the elder statesman on the Republican side and said it raises the question that people are continuing to wonder about. Does the president really want a result, or does he want another person to beat up with when it comes to Republicans? Does he want something to hold over their head again, saying that there's no communication with the Republicans on this issue, unlike what's happened with the four other presidents that I've dealt with as a senator from Arizona. So the White House was quick to try to put out the fire. The chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, said that they were hoping that the bipartisan stuff would deliver an acceptable package, but just in case they wanted another plan, that they're doing exactly what the president said, you know, they would do last month, is they're preparing, they're trying to be ready. That's what we're doing. So a lot of people are upset with the White House. Others are saying, no, this is just the way to tackle immigration. Here's the bottom line. Right now, it's a week off for almost everyone on the Hill. And would this White House proposal that would allow people, the 11 million illegally in this country, to become permanent residents within 8 years, would this really gain foothold and pass? And what would happen as far as the security money and the requirement by the businesses to check immigration statuses of new hires? Aren't they already doing that now? And occasionally isn't ICE cracking down on people who aren't doing it? Get a big splashy headline, at least a few of them, every couple of months. Pretty much that's happening. These are laws that were on the book and just were never enforced in the first place. You know, here's the bottom line. You have immigration, you have guns, you have the sequester, and you have this horrific deficit, and yet still nothing with the budget when all of this requires that much more money to make it happen, because who's going to process all of these illegal immigrants? That's certainly not the departments we have right now. You'd have to add more bodies, just like to the IRS. We had to add more bodies because of what's going to happen in 2014, pushing the mandate, the individual health mandate. More than 4,000 people had to be hired on top of the people that already work for the IRS. And it's going to be the same thing with immigration. They're going to have to hire more people on top of the people that are already there, because there's just simply not going to be enough. So that means, again, it's the taxpayer who has to pay. And here's the problem with all of that. We don't have any money. We are so on credit card in this country. Where's the money coming from? Forget about, geez, we have this problem and we haven't enforced the laws. So now we're going to have to figure out a way to get more money. We're going to have to raise the tax base. We're going to have to do something, for goodness sake. What do we do? Because we're not cutting anything. We're adding. So this 8-year path to residency would also cost a bunch of money in the end. So is it right now? Is the leaked Plan B copy going to pass? I would say I don't think so. It's just a way maybe to thaw out the Republicans and the Democrats, but I don't think so, because Obama hasn't spoken to the Republicans on immigration in the first place. So to have that leak out, man, that might have been a misstep. There's no question about it. Lindsey Graham doesn't care if people think it's a misstep or not. He's saying no way to Chuck Hagel, that he's completely unqualified to be the defense secretary, and what a huge mistake that it would be. And others are saying, well, wait a second. He has all these medals. He was a decorated Vietnam combat vet, for goodness sake. And, you know, why wouldn't you confirm this guy? Why would you delay this confirmation? I don't get it, because in all these disclosures, what do you think is going to fall out from the bag of tricks of Chuck Hagel? Well, here's the bottom line is, he definitely alienated McCain way back when, in 2008, in the race between Obama and McCain. So that's one thing. Also, the whole Israel stance, and that he's sympathetic to Iran somewhat, doesn't help his cause either, because that keeps getting thrown up for people who aren't aware of it. See, others will say, but wait, he's a Republican. You have a Democratic president nominating a Republican, a guy who was a Republican for, you know, 12 years. He was in office. He's a Republican. So why wouldn't you put him in? Why wouldn't you say, listen, he's given us a Republican, for goodness sake? And the problem is, I think part of the problem is politics of the past, like what I just mentioned in 2008, what's the whole Israel thing, and the fact that the Republicans feel like someone took the ball away, and especially Lindsey Graham, who's saying that, you know, the response to questions about past statements in Israel are ridiculous, and with there's too much flip-flopping. So why do we want this guy as our Secretary of Defense? But the week buys a little time for Hagel's, I think, not for Hagel himself, but I think for the opponents to ramp up even more and get more opposition. So I think there actually is a really good chance, not just lip service, that of all the people and all the president's men with these cabinet positions that are so key, and defense secretary is one of the biggest, I think there is a chance that this takes out the legs of Hagel and he doesn't get pushed through. But then the question becomes, who gets nominated in place of Hagel? Who gets put up there that is going to get approved as the Secretary of Defense? Especially these times, you need somebody who, you know, like Hillary Clinton, is constantly on a plane and constantly talking to the people in the Middle East and elsewhere, putting out those fires. So when we come back on the flip side, we're going to let you hear what Congressman Paul Ryan had to say about those leaked proposals and the rule of law. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids. Long-term storable foods as low as $69.95. And much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
There are groups in the House and the Senate working together to get this done. And when he does things like this, it makes that much more difficult to do that. And that's why I think this particular move, very counterproductive. We don't want to give them an advantage over those who came here legally. And we think there's a way to do this while still respecting the rule of law. It's clear that what the president is talking about does not do that.
As promised, as we continue down this pathway to an explanation of the leaked immigration plan B, the last thing I'll say on this is I don't know that this was a smart move by the White House. The reason is because the president was talking about the cooperation and getting this immigration bill, and that was a heavy part of the State of the Union address, which was less than a week ago. Then to turn around and have this bill, this draft bill that comes out and basically says, hey, listen, this is what we're thinking, to me, saying that we need more security funding and we have to have businesses that have to verify the status. Well, no kidding, they're supposed to already do that within 4 years, and that we have to, you know, have an 8-year deal of allowing the citizenship. I mean, even Rubio, who's a second generation guy's parents coming from Cuba, says it's a mistake for the White House to draft immigration legislation without getting any input from the Republicans, and it's disappointing because we're working on a serious solution. So this is kind of one of those sandbox kick you in the face with sand and, you know, hey, na 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 na. If you don't do something, just so you know, this is what we're pumping out there. I think the problem is it was premature. I mean, let's say this the bipartisan thing isn't working and isn't as so great as everybody's saying it is, and it doesn't happen, well, then fine. Then move on to a leaked document. But I think that was a way to shove it in the face of the Republicans as far as the immigration issue is concerned. And, hey, that's taken a back seat to so many other things, too, let me tell you. What's interesting is that Marco Rubio, who has taken a ration of crap for his gulping the water, which was pretty funny, played up in parodies and stuff, but he's playing along with it, too. He's actually meeting with as many heavy hitters as he can, the Israeli President Shimon Peres and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, when he, as he is taking a visit to Israel. He's going to Jordan and Israel this week because he's got that week in between, so that's what he's doing. And this is on the heels of that State of the Union, you know, response, the Republican response. He's also meeting with Palestinian Prime Minister Fayyad and Jordan's King Abdullah. There's a reason for that, and it's going to just continue to raise his profile, I think. And it's pretty much what you have to do if you're trying to get in line to become somebody that moves further up, I think, in our the political system that we have now. If you're trying to swim upstream, you got to do it. And by the way, the senator made sure that everybody knows no taxpayer money paying for any expenses, because his wife is going with him. They're not paying for anything. We're paying for that whole thing. So good for him getting ahead of the potential controversy. Let's put it that way. All right, let's move on to a couple of other quick hits here that I think we should mention as we're moving along at the top of yet another week. It is President's Day, so happy President's Day to anybody listening who may end up having the day off. Perhaps you couldn't sleep and you're listening to this show. Then you're going to go back to sleep and you're going to realize when you wake up, wow, how great is that? I have another day off, and I guarantee there's some of you out there that have another day off. So you might be surprised to know that Maker's Mark, which was controversial heading into the weekend, customers, see, this just shows there's power in numbers. I say it all the time, just like with our government. Power of the people takes 25, start to hit up a congressman or a senator, what a difference it'll make. So Maker's Mark bourbon was going to cut the amount of alcohol in its bottles of whiskey. And they decided, after so many people complained, that they were going to push the level back to what it was. They were going to put it back to the level of the alcohol volume, to its level of 45% or 90 proof, because they announced that they were reducing it to 42% or 84 because they had a supply shortage. Boy, everybody has a supply shortage problem. Ammunition, bourbon. And it's known, if you've ever seen a bottle of it, it's known for, it's a pretty distinct bottle. They have those square bottles and the red wax that's on the top. And they say, you know, that they just have been squeezed. They had to stop shipments to some overseas markets. They just don't have it because they've got a supply of, a shortage of bourbon because of the expansion of their operations that's costing way too much money. So they're not caught up with that. And they have a problem. So you know what you do? You just have to tell them you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to offer less product. That's what happens sometimes in business. Sometimes you get behind the curve, and that's what happened here, which is so strange because the company has been around for a long time, and as they're expanding into markets, I guess they didn't realize how popular their bourbon would be. And then once they announced that they were going to reduce the alcohol content, and it sent people into a fit, you know, because they, people that are drinkers of it, I think, are loyal customers and didn't like the idea that it wasn't going to quite be up to the alcohol content that it had been in the past, so they turned that around pretty quickly. All right, I did say it was President's Day, So a couple of quick things on presidents, and in our next show we'll be doing some of that too as well. I think that when you celebrate President's Day and you take a look back at some interesting things about the presidents, that, man, it's been Lincoln's year. Everybody has a conspiracy about Lincoln. There's the vampire Lincoln and all the other things about Lincoln. But there's something that originally President's Day was known as, a fun fact, Washington's birthday, and it was to honor Washington, really. But after the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1971, that created more three-day weekends for American workers. Yeah, we like that, right? Then it started to become known as President's Day. So do you remember that? 1971. And it's always celebrated on the third Monday of February ever since then. So every year, that's when it got moved. To be honest, I didn't realize it was called the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1971. It's always a mouthful, isn't it? But I thought that was pretty good. So George Washington, people always think of George Washington. And, you know, when it comes to presidents, I think memorable speeches, things that really stand out. And of all the presidential history and things that I've read, one of the more memorable traditions is the reading of George Washington's 1796 farewell address. And a lot of places, especially in D.C., started to do it, and they did it on Washington's birthday to boost morale during the Civil War. That's when it started to be read aloud and talked about the acceptance of the office and the suffrages and the uniform sacrifice of individuals and the nation to the opinion of duty and to a deference for what appeared to be your desire. And, you know, it's just a very interesting speech where he kind of says, you know, he's trying to help the citizens, but he asks for respect for your past kindness. And if he didn't, you know, if he's supported by full convictions, he feels positive about that and what his motives were in regards to liberty. I think the gist of it is that's what he was saying in the farewell speech, that it was about liberty for whatever he did while he was in office, and please give him or spare his digressions if it wasn't on target. So, you know, how about that? And, you know, another legend about George Washington is that his teeth were made of wood. But did you know that's not true, that his teeth were actually made of different things? Gold, human and animal teeth, ivory, lead. Ooh, that sounds kind of nasty. How do you keep those in your mouth? I don't know. Wood would be pretty bad, too, I think. Stay with us.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Washington, because the D.C. wind chill, they say, is 16 degrees. Ooh, that's cold. I can't remember the last time I was in 16 degrees. It's been a very, very, very long time. Of course, I'm in the satellite ship back at the mothership in Minneapolis. They're used to that kind of wind chill. Not me. It's been a strange winter for a lot of places. A lot of snow, a lot of people having to really deal with the elements this time around. I think last year there were a lot of people talking about how soft the winters had become for some, like in Chicago. They were wondering where all the snow was. Well, they got their snow back. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. In this turn, one thing that is very interesting to talk about, the Super Bowl of auto racing is the Daytona 500. I guarantee we have some motorheads out there. I know you're out there. And you've been to a race or two, and it's the kind of sport I think that it has in common with hockey. What it has in common is you have to go and see it. If you're gonna appreciate the sport and understand it, you have to go and see it. Fast cars hauling around a track, and a lot of history there for what the Daytona 500 started out as, really a long, long, long time ago. Its origins were racing on a beach, but it's gone from racing on a beach to a certainly an event that gets a lot of people watching it, has a lot of advertising, and makes a whole bunch of money. And also a whole bunch of noise, because Danica Patrick is off to a very hot start. Danica Patrick becomes the first woman to win a cup pole. Very, very big, with a record-setting speed. She is primed and in a prime position at the Daytona. That's not lost on some other drivers. Take a listen to what they had to say.
I was actually in the booth for ESPN last year in Montreal when Danica charged to the front and led the race and held off Jacques Villeneuve, who's an outstanding road racer, a former Formula One champion. So Danica's earned everything she's gotten.
This is history in the making, and you know we're always talking about individuals and moments that elevate the sport to the next level, and this is one of those. I mean, the amount of exposure that the sport is going to get because of Danica being on the front row is huge.
It'd be a great milestone for the sport, for her to come in, and hopefully I want to see it happen. You know, it's Hendrick Equipment, Stuart Haas Racing. I think it would be great for our sport, great for her, and a great kickstart to the year for everybody within NASCAR.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt NASCAR to have the Danica Patrick story out there. Some people say, well, you know what, qualifying, you're just pushing down. Nothing's in your way, nothing's stopping you, and you just have the gas, you know, put the pedal to the metal, the gas to the floor, and you have to give credit to her crew chief and all the people who work on the car for the way it's running. But she was the first person to say that it's not just about me, it's about everyone that's dealing with this car, and she was right to do that, because any auto racer worth their salt knows it's the people that are involved with the car that are very much a part of setting any kind of a record, or, you know, getting around in the pit stops even faster and all the things that go along with what a race is. But qualifying is certainly different from once you're on the track. And you heard in the voices there, Jeff Gordon. And Jeff Gordon was second on the leaderboard. And it was one of those drives to the end. And he's one of those guys, you can't ever count him out either. But, you know, sometimes it's about the crashes, the position, and definitely how fast the car is moving and how quickly they make the stops and the right strategy there. That's what the crew chief is so, so vital. Speaking of strategy, I don't know what the strategy was for the people at Carnival, but the first lawsuit has already been filed in that cruise ship mishap, the Triumph. Yep, because you think of the amount of passengers and all together passengers and crew, 4,200 people. So you had a Texas woman, her name's Cassie Terry, who said that, you know, she's suing them and saying that they failed to provide any kind of a seaworthy vessel and sanitary conditions, and is suing for compensation for physical and emotional harm, anxiety, nervousness, and the loss of enjoyment of life. I think that's a good one. And loss of enjoyment of life. So Terry and the other passengers, considering litigation, though, are going to have a tough time with this because of what they signed. They don't read the fine print in accepting the ticket. There's ridiculous amounts of things that are on that ticket, and they signed it. The value of the ticket and all that kind of stuff is maybe, you know, what the price that they'll get back. But any more than that, good luck with the lawsuits, because there isn't a loss of life here either. And most of these lawsuits don't go anywhere because of the paperwork that is ultimately signed before you get on the ship. More reasons to stay on land. More reasons why. I don't know. I'm just not that. I wouldn't be that excited about taking a cruise, but I know people have done it, and they do. They swear by the cruise. So, you know, somebody's doing it. Somebody's liking it. If 21 million Americans are going on cruises, I don't think that this ill-fated Triumph is going to dissuade everybody from people that normally cruise from getting on a boat again. But maybe they check out the boat a little bit more. Maybe they know more about the vessel that they're getting on, because this one had a history. Whether that history was well known or not, I'm not sure. But there would be a way, an easy way to find it out, to ask a few questions. Maybe that's the thing to do, is ask a few questions about other mishaps on the boat. And this boat had had three different things happen to it, which would make you a little bit nervous if you, you know, if you had heard about them. So maybe some people wouldn't have signed up for the cruise in the first place. And it's a very, very big, big boat. And that was part of the problem of getting the boat in to dock and having it have to go all the way to Mobile, Alabama, because of what was happening with the currents and just the enormity of the 14 floors and 900 feet. Was pretty tough to try to steer that ship with the tugboats, try to move that ship in the position where they could get it to shore. That was the fear of getting into Mexico, and added those extra days to make sure that they did get the people back to land and didn't end up in a worse situation. But they had to be some, I agree with the anxiety thing. There had to be some tense moments there, because you're flying blind. You don't know what's really happening. And a lot of information wasn't being released, frankly, by the people at Carnival cruise lines, other than they were dealing with it, and here's where they're going to dock, and here's what's happening. You know, a few little things, but I think really there was a lot of holes in the information. So if you were on the boat, of course you had to be concerned about not having the information. You had to be concerned about what was going to happen next when you see the boat tilting and you see the things that are happening on the boat. Of course, anybody traveling would feel the same way. You wouldn't have the information that you wanted to tell when you have the 2 seconds to talk to your family, and it was great cause for concern and anxiety and, you know, anything related to that pressure and the lack of information. You know, sometimes it's a disservice to not give out enough information, and I think Carnival would probably be very, very guilty of that. But like I said, in the end, Carnival wins, because the lawsuits really won't go anywhere, and more people will come back for cruises. Maybe they have to discount them a little bit, but they're still going to get those people that want to cruise. I bet a lot of people on the boat were praying, and we have lots of listeners like Stacy and some others in Mississippi, and I guarantee that they have to be excited perhaps about this Mississippi bill that would legalize school prayer, and saying in the words of the bill that it would ensure religious liberty. So the State House and the State Senate passed versions of the School Children's Religious Liberties Act. They have to agree on a single bill before anything would go to the Republican Governor Phil Bryan. The Republican Congress representative, anyway, the Republican Representative Mark Formby said that even though religious liberty is guaranteed under the Constitution, schools are afraid of getting involved in disputes over religion, and they're suppressing students from talking about faith in any context, in writing or talking or any of that kind of stuff. And they're saying it's ridiculous. Why can't we restore school prayer? And it can be a voluntary thing. They can pray or not pray. It's up to them. I have a feeling the ACLU is all over this, saying that Bill's going to force students to listen to someone else's religious expressions, and that's what they're getting at. That's what they're talking about. Football games, graduation, all that stuff, they're saying it's not fair. Why should somebody have to listen to it? So you can't say it's a voluntary thing, because they're gonna hear it. How about if you put the kids out in the hallway who don't want to hear a prayer, and keep the ones in the room for a second who want to pray? I mean, really, I don't know. I just don't understand the controversy over school prayer. They're, you know, singing God Bless America, saluting the flag, all this other kind of stuff. If somebody was going to participate, why do they have to participate? Can't the two coexist? I mean, give me a break.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey Water Filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Each and every month we talk to my pal Mike Bonacorsi about getting retirement ready. It's great stuff. I want you to stop whatever you're doing, unless you're driving, and pay attention. And if you're driving, just pay attention. His book is called Retirement Readiness, Creating Your Vision, Knowing Your Position, and Preparing Your Future. Mike, you are in the neck of the woods in the New England area that got socked by snow. What was that like Friday and Saturday?
We got about 25 inches where I am. And I got to tell you, it was crazy. It started off snowing early Friday morning. I was in the office. I left about 4 o'clock, and coming home, it was just really starting to hit. All night long, it kept up. The next morning, we woke up. It was insane. It didn't look like it was ever going to stop. And then by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it pretty much gone by. But I got to tell you something. There is just snow everywhere. The piles are big. The roads are still pretty narrow. It's tough. Even the street that I live on is very, very difficult getting around because there's just no place to put the snow. There's so much of it. There's just these big piles on the side of the road here, and we need to get a little bit of a break. Either a little rain or a few good days together to get these piles down. They're huge, Katie. You could dig a hole and live in one.
Oh, that's like an igloo. That's crazy.
Oh, it's absolutely insane. But I mean, it's winter. It's New England.
Yeah.
If you live in New England, you expect this type of thing.
Yeah, no kidding. I might lead some people to say when they go back to work, hey, they're offering me early retirement. They're offering me that package. Maybe I ought to think about it. And, you know, really, this is what some people struggle with, whether or not they should take the retirement package or not. What are some things, and this is just a great question, what are some things that you should consider before you accept or decline an early retirement package?
Well, you know, one of the first things you want to think about, Kate, is that, you know, am I ready? What's the best choice for me? Am I at a point in my career or in my life where I can say, hey, you know something? I'm ready to give the 9-to-5 job up. I'm willing to, you know, maybe I want to try something different. So I think the first decision comes from within yourself as to whether or not you're ready to take that package. If you decide you are, then you've got some considerations to make. You know, remember, this ongoing paycheck that you've gotten for a number of years is going to be gone. You're going to have to figure out how you're going to replace that. Number two, if you aren't eligible for Medicare and you aren't covered by a spouse or somebody else's insurance, health care costs is certainly something you need to consider, whether or not COBRA is going to be available to you. If it is, what's the cost? You're going to have to go outside and purchase outside health care. Is that an issue? It's very, very expensive. And, you know, do I have enough money to save for retirement, or do I really have to think about going back to work?
Well, yep, all good questions. I hope everybody listening wrote them down. Maybe you're going to get a copy of the book. We're going to give one away, Retirement Readiness. All right, the other thing is, and this question, actually a lot of people struggle with this because they don't understand the whole Social Security thing. So can they apply for Social Security?
You know, it depends on how old they are. It depends on how old they are as to whether or not they'll be eligible for Social Security. If they're 62 years old, they can begin to take a Social Security benefit. It's a reduced benefit from their full retirement age benefit. It's reduced about 25%. But at 62 years old, they can apply and begin to receive Social Security. So that might be an option that's available to replace some of that income. But remember, once you take that that lesser amount, that's the amount you're going to have that lesser amount, that 25% reduction at age 62 versus full retirement age. The longer you can wait for retirement, the larger your benefit will be. If you can wait to full retirement age, then you'll be able to get a bit more. And certainly if you can wait even past that, you'll receive a much bigger benefit. The other thing is, if you decide that you are going to continue to work, remember, your Social Security benefit may be reduced depending on how much money you earn. If you're under full retirement age, you're 62 years old, between 62 and the year you turn full retirement age, your benefit could be reduced a dollar for every $3 you earn. Later on, full retirement age, the year you turn full retirement age, it could be reduced $2 for every dollar you earn over a certain limit. It's about $14,000, $15,000 at age 62, full retirement age. The year you turn full retirement age, I think it's around close to $30,000. But anything you earn over that, there's a reduction in benefit until you reach full retirement age. Then you can work as much as you want and not have a reduction in benefit.
Oh, so really, if you can do the full retirement age, I think that's the best option.
Absolutely. A full retirement age or older, remember, your benefit increases by about 8% a year up to age 70 that you delay it. So If you can go past full retirement age, you can even get an 8% increase in your benefit. But, you know, once again, these are all things to consider if you do receive that early retirement package, if that option is available for you, to you. Number one, are you ready to do it? Number two, how are you going to replace the income, the benefits you've been receiving from your employer all these years?
Yeah. Speaking of benefits, you know, it used to be about this, the health insurance. So we have great health insurance, and it's not going to cost you much for the copay and everything else. So what about health insurance? This has to be one of the biggest things you have to consider, I would assume, Mike, because we've talked about it. You know it when you're thinking about retiring.
Well, health insurance it will be a huge cost to people. You know, when you're working, your employer picks up part of your in most cases your employer picks up part of your tab, so you don't feel the full effects. But If you leave the company, if you go out on COBRA, basically you're going to be paying both sides of the equation. Your benefits, your costs are going to, you know, probably double or even more. If you have to buy outside health insurance, you're going to see this incredible cost up until you become eligible for Medicare. So health insurance is a big, big chunk of the pie. And I see quite often where people go back to work just for the benefit.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get some health insurance, either one spouse or the other.
Yeah, I've seen that too. The other thing is, and sometimes people don't consider this, is where are you going to live? Are you going to stay, are you staying in the same house? Have you paid off the mortgage? Is the house falling apart? How old is the house? I don't know that people often take this into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Living where you're living. How much debt do you have? Do you still have a car payment? Do you still have a mortgage payment? How are you going to cover these costs? So, you know, it all becomes part of the package. And then the last thing, Kate, that we haven't touched on is whether or not you have a real choice in taking that package or not.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the package is thrown out there, and you've got to, you know, one of the things you have to ask yourself is that if I don't take the package now, will my situation be worse when I do decide to leave? In other words, is this the best deal available, or do I hang around for another couple of years and see what happens then?
Yeah, and I bet that's where we opened talking about that. That's why you have to really think about it. It's not, you know, sometimes it becomes an anger thing and people are upset with the company, or sometimes people are thinking, hey, this is kind of my parachute here, but they don't really, I've seen this with people, they don't really examine it closely enough. I would almost say, Mike, and, you know, you're the financial guy, that you should go to a financial planner and have them look at it if you're confused.
Absolutely, Kate. I spoke in front of a group not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and they, quite a few people were receiving an early retirement package from this employer. And as I started to talk to people, you know, a lot of eyes lit up. They were looking at their 401k values, saying, oh, boy, they're going to give me this. And, you know, they read the paperwork as a lump sum. I could take this as a lump sum I want. Boy, you know, I'm going to have $100,000. I'm going to have this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get this payout. And then I started talking to them one-on-one as they came up and they were asking me questions. And they didn't realize, all of a sudden it dawned on them that, you know, this is what I'm going to have to live on for the rest, this may be what I have to live on for the rest of my life. You know, this may be something that if I take it the wrong way, I may end up paying 30-35% taxes on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of things that really had to be considered before they took the package.
Yeah, and you, I mean, in your book, you know, you talk about other things like bumps in the road. What do you do? Prepare for the unexpected, because, you know, you're healthy, knock on wood, everything seems like it's smooth, and then some other thing happens to maybe your parent who lived an extremely long life and they're like 95 or 100 or whatever, who knows, or something happens to one of your family members and you have to, or certainly you feel compelled and you want to try to help and chip in, and that changes your financial picture too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You have to look at it across the road. You know, it isn't so much what your situation is, but remember, there's people out there that probably depend on you for their survival. You know, children, parents, grandparents, they need your support too. So you have to take that into consideration as to whether or not, how this is going to benefit the whole, you know, the whole family unit here, not just the individual.
Yeah. Mike Bonacorsi, be careful with all that snow. Thanks.
Okay, Kate, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hattler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com.
Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.